In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeffrey and company make a list of the biggest stories, both good and bad, that we need to talk about. This is The List.
Jeff just made the list!
Presented by Birdies 901, Memphis's place for virtual golf. The List on 92.9.
Week zero.
You just made the list!
Yeah, Kevin, it is officially upon us. So we have week zero, and most importantly... All right, let's go look at the lines. What do we got for week zero?
Yeah, I want to know who you're betting on. I want to know where's the money at this week. There's only four games on Saturday. It starts early in the morning, 11 a.m. kickoff. I guess that is that what time is that, 11 a.m.?
It's our 11 a.m.
Is it our 11?
Yes.
So it Florida State, Georgia Tech, though. We're starting big. We're complaining about, you know, this doesn't look like a great schedule. We do have the biggest game to start the day.
So... We have the four games and the four lines. So right now we have Florida State. I'm showing Florida State as a 10.5-point favorite over Georgia Tech. Right now I'm playing Florida State. I think Georgia Tech's kind of become a little trendy.
Very trendy from what I've heard just being on the radio this week. Everybody has Georgia Tech's not as bad as they sound.
And now this will play out one of two ways. We're going to find out that they were a trendy dog, and my number one belief is trendy dogs have fleas. Or we're going to find out, oh, well, you know, there's a reason why people were talking them up. I'm going the other way. I think Florida State, while they lost a decent amount up front defensively and they lost basically their entire receiving core, I still think DJU is going to be pretty good. Like, Norvell's going to run it at them. Their offensive line's mostly back. I think I'm taking the Noles minus 10.5.
We've got, so the last time we saw Florida State play a game, there was also a team with Georgia on the jerseys. Mm. Did not go very well. But there's been a lot of time and a lot of travel in between there as they're in Dublin.
We could also argue that team that Florida State, like that was a team wearing Florida State's jerseys. That wasn't their team.
True.
Like they basically played absolutely no one. But yes, they got.
I agree. That was not fair for the college football fan.
Correct.
How that ended last year. It just happened to be the year when the four-team playoff was saying goodbye.
So we also have SMU and Nevada. Listen.
You jumped the Montana State game.
Because I have FCS games differently. I was going to get to them.
All right, we'll get to it. You're doing it in marquee order.
Yes.
All
right. Well, I was doing it in the order that shows up on the book.
but that's how it should be done.
If you don't stand for something, Kevin, you'll fall for anything. This house has stood for laying many, many touchdowns on the road against a bad team. I'll be laying 26.5 with SMU when they go to Nevada.
See, SMU could win their conference.
Very much so. Like, SMU might have quietly one of the best funded rosters in all of college football.
It is. Like, if you're a Memphis fan and you're looking at it, you know, it sucks to lose SMU, but, like, if you want your path to be in a high-profile game, getting SMU off the schedule is going to help this year, I think, possibly. But, we get on to win-loss battle with Boise on who had the better wins and losses. Maybe it won't, but you would wish you had SMU on the schedule. But anyway, SMU at Nevada, you think they're going to win by?
I think they're going to kill them. So I'll lay 26.5.
The 26.
All right. The game that you were mentioning, we have another historic game. Montana State on the road at New Mexico. Kevin, we have an FCS team that is favored by 2 touchdowns over an FBS team.
Yeah.
I did a little research. Since I believe 2000 was when it went back to.
2000.
Correct. An FCS team has been a double-digit favorite 4 times against an FBS team.
At any point.
Correct.
Since 2000.
While
over 2 decades.
While those FCS teams were 3-1 in those games. They're 1-3 against the spread. So I'm going to take the Lobos. Give me the 14 points. I'll believe that Bronco Mendenhall can find a way to keep a FCS opponent within two touchdowns. And then we have...
That's fair.
We have our beloved Delaware State. I think there's some kind of
Hornets. So they're Hornets, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're... It's
the straight-up Hornets.
Like something with Hornets. A stinger. They're getting 40 points on the island. Has the whole team made it there yet? They did not take my buddy up on the charter. They did fly. They split up and flew commercial.
This has been part of my routine this week. I did not do it today, though. But every morning, like, I'm waking up, I'm drinking my coffee, and I'm checking in to see what Delaware State is doing. They, of course, missed their flight earlier this week. They split up, and I'm guessing everybody is there by now. But it was late yesterday, which really makes you wonder. They obviously have not had time for any rest and relaxation and sightseeing down there in Hawaii, which you want to do when you arrive. And now they've got this big game and a lot of points to...
Yeah, so to me, this is my smartest man in the room pick. There's no reason to bet on Delaware State. That's why you bet on Delaware State. Everyone on the planet is already talking about, like, Hawaii. I'm not asking Delaware State to be competitive. I'm asking them to stay within 40 points. And while normally the thought of laying 40 points with Hawaii would sound exhilarating, that's no thanks. Give me 40. I'll take it with Delaware State. So
they're going to be anxious, pent up energy here, being put in these hotel rooms and on airplanes. I think they're going to be ready to go, and I think they can hold on to be within 40. I think they could do it. You've got me believing. I'm definitely going to be cheering them on.
Again, not asking him to be good.
If I'm awake at 11 o'clock.
Well, we still don't even know where. We're going to have to find an illegal stream, of course. That's why we're exactly. Like, you're going to need Reddit to get you through this
one.
Yeah,
your TV channels this weekend, the big game is on ESPN. So we're all going to be able to watch Florida State, Georgia Tech. But we have FS1, CBS Sports, Nets got the SMU game. And then the Hawaii-Delaware State game is on pay-per-view, Spectrum pay-per-view.
Spectrum, or whatever. You'll go to Reddit and you'll find somebody that'll have a stream for you that'll probably crash your computer. It's good to have that back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's the only game. Week zero includes one day.
Four games, one day. We do not have the CUSA extravaganza that we had last year. So that's what I've got on the docket. I guess it's like this is probably the closest thing to week zero kind of being a nothing burger. But, like, all right, we'll get Florida State on our screen tomorrow. That's something to look forward to. Let's go with Javar Downs.
You just made the list.
Yeah, you may be asking yourself, who is Javar Downs? Well, he's one of the Louisville police officers involved in the arrest of Scottie Scheffler during May's PGA Championship. According to Wave 3, Officer Javar Downs was taken into custody on Friday while being accused of pocketing money that he seized from a suspect. The Louisville Metro Police Department stated that Downs took the money on Wednesday during a traffic stop just before 1 a.m. According to an arrest citation, Downs was booked at the Louisville Metro Department of Corrections on theft and official misconduct charges. The officer is alleged to have taken $4,000 from an envelope he found while searching a man during a traffic stop. According to the man, the envelope originally contained $10,000. I kind of like this. A, we got to be believing that this guy's telling the truth, that it contained 10. But let's play it out that indeed he was telling the truth. I like this. Officer Downs didn't take the whole 10 grand. He just took a little of the 10 grand.
Right.
So this
got his percentage.
It is really funny to think about. Like, I do think more people started liking Scottie Scheffler after this. Like, I do think he came out a winner. But this is also why when... normally, I think we're a little too critical in general on every single cop. This was one where I was like, yeah, I everything you read sounded like they were lying their asses off. They did not do what they were supposed to do, and they tried to cover it up, and they were unfortunately unable to get away from it. So shout out to Officer Downs, one of the arresting officers who turned the camera off during the Scheffler arrest. Also gets arrested today. Canadian football.
You just made the list.
All right, this happens every so often where, and it has to happen, Kevin, when it's only really in the social media era. But we had an all-timer last night when the Toronto Argonauts were taking on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders in a game that was tied 19-19.
All right, tied 19-19. What's the Canadian towns we're playing
here? We are in Toronto.
The Argonauts
were at home.
Okay.
We had a missed field goal, and this is where not knowing the Canadian rules, we had a game-winning missed field goal. Missed field goals in the CFL that make it out of the field of play are worth 1 point. So he misses the field goal, but it goes to the stands. He's doing a celebratory missed field goal, and we got football fans up in arms about how this should be possible. But it's like, this happens, I feel like once every 10 years where you see this situation. It has to be a very specific set of circumstances. You have to have game completely tied, missed kick that makes it to the stands.
It has to be that in order to count as a point.
Correct.
It has to make it out, Canadian football
out of
rule.
The field of play, so it has to make the stands. So he misses wide left, but it makes it to the stands.
I mean, do you do that purposely because you just need the 1 point?
No, you're trying to make it.
You're trying to make
because
it.
Because if you make it, you get 3 no matter what. You're also taking a risk of,
not getting it and going to Canadian overtime, which who knows what those rules are going to be here.
Correct. But we have the football world up in arms. How can this be?
I mean, there's headlines I saw. I mean, the single dumbest rule in sports. Is it the single dumbest rule in all of sports? I mean, it's just different. I think initially it's different. So if you watch football, you're like, this is different. So I don't like any time there's a rule that's situational. Yeah.
It's one of those rules where it's so bad, I think it's good. Like, it's a dumb rule. Like, what is the point of having the goalpost? Like, you should not be rewarded for not doing what you're supposed to, but it's such a bad rule that I'm kind of in on it. Like,
it's intriguing. I don't know. I don't know if I like it, like, only in certain, like, if it's going to be the rule, figure out the rule so then you could kick it at different points in the game. It could play a factor.
Right.
I want to see that.
The thing that kind of I like about it is it's obviously pure chaos.
Right.
But also, it's the confusing reactions. So the guy celebrating missing the kick,
yeah,
and then the people, like, normally
he's celebrating missing a kick.
It's a home game,
which is so bizarre,
right? Like, so you're thinking, well, is this guy shaving points? Like, what's he doing? Like, was he trying to sell it?
Couldn't wait for week zero to start. He was gambling on his own teams here.
But also, like, it's a home game, and so, like, normally when you have the game winning field goal, you get everyone in the behind the end zone, like, when it's up, they're celebrating. You can tell only, like, 5 people, even the Canadians, like, only 5 people know the rule. And so there's, like, a couple people that are celebrating, and then there's everyone else that's dejected, thinking, like, oh, no, I missed it. I just love it. I think it's so bad that I'm in on it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the dumbest, but I can't think of it. Is there one you can think of the dumbest
so I don't,
rule that you would just, like, tomorrow say, we got to get rid of that? I still don't like just NFL overtime in general as how it's laid out. It feels like we were looking at and talking about the SEC tiebreaker rules now for the championship game, and they're just laid out and so complicated.
A rule that I used to not like that I've kind of flipped on. So if you fumble a ball out of the end zone, but it's not recovered by the opponent, it's a touchback. And I used to be like, why not just bring it back to the spot? They didn't gain possession. You didn't lose possession. Like, to me, but now as we've made it harder and harder and harder to play defense, I kind of like, hey, this is like, every rule almost feels geared towards offense now. It's like the one rule that we give to defense. Like, hey, you didn't really recover the fumble, but this is part of it. And there's also kind of like, you know, it adds a little risk element when you reach out at the goal line. If you're going to be the guy that's reaching to try and score, like, you better score because there's a heavy, heavy penalty. That's usually the one that gets cited for people as the dumbest rule, because it's the only time where you don't have to gain possession as a defense and you can wind up with the ball.
Right. That does. But the more I think about this, it is very confusing. If like the idea that, because you are trying to kick it through the uprights, you're trying to make a field goal, right?
Yes.
You're trying to do that.
He is. And he was not trying to miss it.
You get some points.
It's
for
the way
the
it's
attempt.
Always been explained to me is like Canadian football is a blend of American football and rugby. And there's like, it's like a nod to some rugby rule.
Okay.
That was the
well,
way
that makes
it,
sense.
It was always explained to me because, you know, you still have, it's not like it's 11 on 11, but it's just hilarious to see a guy miss a kick and then like put his hands
right.
up in the air.
Yeah, that is fine.
All right, let's go. Scott Service.
You just made the list.
Okay. So kind of a tough break. You don't normally see this happen anymore. Like, I feel like this was something you used to see once upon a time, but now in the era where everything is going to be news, they pride themselves on communication, but no, not for the former Seattle Mariners manager. The longtime Seattle manager was set to meet with team president Jeremy DePoto at noon on Thursday, but hours before the meeting was scheduled, Service saw a breaking news alert come across his TV announcing that he had been fired. The Mariners had let go of hitting coach Jarrett DeHart. He, too, learned his fate via the news report. Quote, "It has been one of my least favorite days in my professional life. The worst part of it is the fact that Scott and JD found out about the news over... found out about this over the crawl of a news channel, and that crushes me. I know it hurts them a great deal, and I want to be conscious of that through the course of this process." Okay, so, I'm trying to think about it. Would you rather learn via a news report, or would you rather have to go into the... Like, to me, there's almost...
That's easy, yeah, then go in and sit
it's
down.
It's kind of the ripping, like, having to go into the meeting to learn your fate... I think I'd rather learn this way.
Versus the meeting, for sure, yeah. But, I mean, you know, I deserve a phone call. He deserves a phone call. And did he get a phone call? Like, if we find out this way, did he... Like, it's like, did they try to reach you and you just weren't... You, and this, I looked it up. I mean, see, I was like, how old is he? And he's like, he's 57, so he's probably decently versed in using a cell phone. But was he charging his phone in the other room and this didn't...
It's the Larry Finch question. So, like... We always, the taglines, Larry was fired at the hot dog stand.
Right.
Well, it's not true. Like, Larry was, like, given the final papers at the whatnot. But,
right.
And it's also, like, I always wonder, so the question then becomes is, like, okay, how did the news get out? Because there was clearly some phone call that was made. Because I do agree with you. If we find out, like, was Service pulling a Costanza, where, like, if you don't pick up the phone, like, you can't get fired.
Right, he's going to show up.
Right. And so...
Well, maybe. I mean, there's a great chance he learned about it on but he was obviously probably sitting in front of the watching TV. And
if he made...
Sometimes I'm watching TV, my phone is charging in another room. He wasn't waiting by the phone. Maybe he had his phone off.
What seems unlikely to me is that, like, to me, this is a problem. If it happened this way, if the team president says, "I'm firing him," and then he leaks the news to a reporter before he's told Service, well, that's bad. That also feels wildly unlikely to me. Usually what happens in this situation is one of two things. Team president calls agent first and says, "Hey, we're going to make a change." And then agent leaks news. Or someone in the building found out, and that's the person that told. Those seem to be the two most likely things. I still kind of come back to
the last time you even got any news from, like, you learned something on by watching breaking news alert on television.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like you don't really see this because people know.
And we've had a very newsy year, right? Like, so
yeah.
A lot of things have been happening in the news, and I often find out by text message that somebody's texting you that the news is
right.
happening. You see it still on Twitter. or social media somewhere that the news event happens. You have to be somebody who's got the TV on constantly, which a lot of people do, to get the actual news when it happens on television, because television is usually behind on everybody else.
Oh, 100% now.
So, like, yeah.
It's not like he fired up Twitter.
Right.
I think I'd rather be fired this way.
This way, yeah. Find out.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I'm not taking the meeting. Like, that's fine. You made the decision to fire me. But, like, I don't see... That meeting seems to me to be, like no win. Like, you're not going to convince them that...
Right.
They've already made the decision, so you're not changing their mind. And now I've got to do, like, the green mile walk to an office where I know I'm getting fired. Like, save me all that. Like, you know... I think it's one of those things. I think it's getting held against them, and I don't think they actually did it intentionally. I think it is a byproduct now of how competitive sports media is. Like, it's everything's
for sure,
very much, everything's very covered, and so I think sign me up this way. It's like it rips the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, this is a mid-season firing from a team that had potential, and yeah. He's gone. He found out by watching TV.
Now, maybe it's also possible my judgment's a little clouded, but his daughter was an intern at Ole Miss when I was covering Ole Miss.
Oh, really?
And one of the all-time greatest cleat chasers I've ever seen in my entire life. I could be entirely judging how I feel about him based on my interactions with her.
Well, you seem to be happy for him that he got fired by television.
That's why I'm also saying, like, maybe I'm not the right person to be judging this because of how I feel. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will indeed have a true one of one. We will have the submission.
The guy who beat the submission technician. The true one of one.
The true one of
the
one.
The new 901 wrestling champion. Shares the same first name as me. But that's about all we share. Kevin Bless, yes, Kevin Bless in studio, the new 901 wrestling champ. He beat Shane Schaffner, held the title for a record low time.
I see why I was confused. You had the name at the top, and I was reading the blurb.
Yeah,
that was my confusion. But
we'll work on this. You know, we've only been going at it here for a week now.
I've been told that this is going to be a must-listen interview because we have no idea what he's going to say.
We have no idea what he's going to say. How many of his baby mamas is he going to shout out? We don't know.
Respect.
We're going to find out coming up.
We'll find out when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pleased to be joined in studio by the new 901 wrestling champion. He's got his belt with him over the strap. He's a true one of one.
Yes, sir.
Kevin Bless, good day, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank y'all for having me. Thank you so much.
All right, so let's get into how we acquired said belt, because we had another wrestler, but we had Bobby Ford in here
sitting in
the exact same seat you were with said belt.
Right before the 4th of July, yeah.
He no longer has that belt.
He no longer has this belt, I do.
How did you get it?
All right, so I'm the record-holding, longest-reigning, two-time 18-19 champion of the world, formerly. And
the worker's belt.
If you want to say.
Now we got the championship belt.
Yes, sir, the big belt.
So, oh, yeah.
Upon losing it, I actually got demoralized. I was like, you know, what I'm going to do? Wrestling, finally, you know, paying my bills, 901 taking care of me. And here I am. I got too comfortable. I got their money, and I was eating good food. Oh, heavens. Oh, Lord. And it came down to being something of a matter of trying to climb the ladder as fast as I can. So it was the Rumble, and I thought I was going to be like number 13, and I wasn't. So with the Rumble, if you win it, you get an open opportunity at any title at any time.
A wild card, some would say.
A wild card Rumble, yes, sir. So I ended up pulling number 2.
Ooh.
So I ended up having to start. I ended up having to start from the. It's just as bad as pulling.
Yeah,
number
I was
saying
it's the same thing as pulling one. It's just you don't. Your entrance is second,
and
but you're both in the ring at the same time.
I didn't want to lose my element of surprise and reveal my hand. And believe it or not, contrary to lately, the fans they booed me when I drew my number. So that was fuel. That was motivation. That was a reason for me to get out there and try to last as long as I can. Now, granted, I told you I was eating all their food. As champion.
I was going to ask, did we take a nap, maybe? Did we pull a Miz?
Maybe
find a way out of the ring without, you know, going over the top, take a little nap?
I gained about 20 pounds since I was a first 18-19 champion, and I think that helped me stay in the ring as long as I did. So come number 13, I make it all the way
You had a weight gain that helped you get from getting tossed over the top rope.
That was a strategy, because like normally we just get older and we just get 20 pounds, but no, this was to make it harder to go over the top. I got it.
Well, eventually that's what it became. At first, it was just me enjoying the delicacies of being 18-19 champion of the world. I never held a title like that before, so I didn't know how to act. I was like one of those rappers when they get their first check or whatever. I was spending. My kids. Ooh, everybody loved me.
Like an athlete that thinks I'm gonna make all this money forever.
Oh yeah, I had that. I'm about to buy my mama a house mentality. So I come in. Last up until 13, and man, I ran into Walker Hayes, big guy. And
we've had Walker in here.
You had Walker in here?
Very big guy.
Very big guy.
You're thinking Hunter Havoc was in here. We have not seen Walker Hayes, the Memphis-made monster.
Okay, beg your pardon. Yeah, we had Hunter in, and because Hunter's the only person that has ever said this to me in my life. Oh, you're not as short as I thought. and it was like the nicest. And then he starts working heel, but like, it was like that made me feel so good. It's like,
you got to watch Hunter. I love Hunter, though. Hey, he's a great guy. But, yeah, so Walker Hayes comes in, and I run into him. I'm like, I got to slow him down before he picks up his momentum, and I run into him. And it's like, you know, I'm twirling. I'm just spinning in the air, and I get slammed real hard. It's like gravity was against me. And so
did he Cesaro you?
Gravity was against you? Yeah.
In fairness, gravity feels like it's against all of us.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
Now, he hit me with the ring.
Ah.
Oh, wow.
So, I roll.
So we're seeing stars.
Yeah. So I go to roll to the strategically to the edge of the ring, right up under the ring. And
yeah, man, smart.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was. Until
you could have been concussed.
Yeah, I thought I was.
Like, we all know when you get concussed, you're supposed to go to a dark room. Like that was smart. That was science.
Yeah. The dark room really happened to be when I accidentally fell off the edge there. I fell off the edge,
but not off the top.
Not over the top, under the bottom, but I fell off the edge and I hit my back on that ground. When I tell you, I was coughing hard.
So we strategically, we were taking care of our health because we could be concussed after that. And we needed to make sure we're okay. So we did have to technically slip out of the ring for just a minute.
Just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Just a minute. I'll take credit for thinking.
And how many participants are in the ring at the time that we had to go check on our head?
I do not remember, but it was almost a full ring.
Smart.
And I look up, and I'm starting to align all the lights. My vision is aligning. My eyes are matching. And it got to a point to where I hear the bell ring, and I'm like, I'm not out of this yet. Hold on. I start trying to make my way up through the apron, and I slip under the bottom.
Smart.
I see Shane Schaffner celebrating. I said, no, not today.
So he thinks he's won.
Yeah, so Shane entered at number one. Bless came in at number two. They both lasted until the end. We did not realize Bless was still in it because, I mean, you've watched a lot of Rumble type of matches and Battle Royals over your years, Jeffrey. I have never seen this many guys in the ring at one time. At one point, it was very chaotic there in Black Lodge. With the ring was
so
full.
We can't figure out what's going on.
And yeah, so while this stuff was happening to Bless, I didn't even notice that was going on. Everybody thought, Shane, wow, this guy came in at number one and won the whole thing. But here you come in, Bless, toss him over the top rope, and you got a pretty nice reaction from the crowd.
It blew my mind there, actually.
You got a pop?
Yeah, when I first
walked out.
Wait,
you got booed and popped in the same match?
Nah, in the next show, I drew my number.
Okay,
and then when I entered the Rumble, everybody just cheered for me, and I don't know if there was motivation or pressure, and I turned that pressure into motivation, but the room shrunk on me. I was like, whoa. Y'all did not feel like this the last show.
So how long did it take Schaffner to recognize you were still in this thing?
It was too late.
After you tossed him?
Yeah.
That's when he knew?
Yeah, he was throwing his hands up, and he turned around, and I tried to decapitate him. I tried to take his head off. That was me. That was my night. Not him.
Okay, so we win the Rumble. That now gives us the wild card opportunity.
Yes, sir.
And we decide to cash in. Might as well cash in while we're here. Is that what we did? Like, let's just go same night. We're hot. Let's keep going.
So the cash in came just at our last show, the final battle at Black Lodge.
And okay, so how long in between the Rumble and the cash-in?
About a month and a half, 2 months.
Okay, and so what inspired us on Saturday? Why? What made us play the wild card? Why? What made you think, like, this is the moment?
Okay, so the Black Lodge is basically, and this is in the words of Bobby Ford, but the house that built me. You know, I had a reputation before, but I was nobody before. I have a reputation now, and I'm somebody to fit that, you know what I mean? And it was kind of hard to find out, you know, at the last minute that they were shutting down, and we wouldn't have that venue yep. anymore. And I just wanted to... I wanted to make that one last connection with the fans. I didn't have a match that night. So
you made a match for yourself?
I made a match for myself. He shocked the whole lodge. You hear people screaming backstage, some of the other wrestlers. He got Bobby in the middle of the ring. He got Bobby in the middle of the ring. I'm like, no, he don't. Before I can get to the camera, I'm hearing. I'm like, oh, he tapped. Whoa. And then when I say it,
whoa, whoa,
no.
Whoa.
So here's what
Mr. Big Stuff Bobby Ford, that was, I don't take any ish from anyone. That little prick tapped.
He tapped.
This
is a very, like, as we're setting the stage here. So he wins the wild card Rumble. He's got this opportunity to get a shot at any 901 wrestling title at any time. The same guy that he sneaks up from behind in the wild card Rumble and tosses over the top rope, shocking Shane Schaffner, who thought he won.
I don't like your tone there.
But
did you hear they say he snuck up on him? You just played. He played the match.
It was by the rules. It was by the book.
It was by the book.
I'll give him credit on that. But then like here you go. Shane does something that we've never seen. It's getting Bobby Ford to tap out in the middle of the ring.
That was insane.
And Shane then becomes the 901
guy, by the way.
Shane becomes the 901 wrestling champion, and now he thinks he just thought he was the wild card Rumble a few weeks ago, and now he thinks he's the 901 wrestling champion, which he was. He is now a former champion, because what happens, Bless, this is when you decide that.
I smell blood in the water. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was like a starved shark. I seen him, and he was flapping in that water, and I was like, oh, okay, hey, this is my time here. And it could have been Bobby. Bobby didn't win.
Let's go back to the part.
So you were gonna take advantage of the opportunity, no matter who won that match.
I decided last minute.
Shane
shocked the crowd. I wanted to shock the crowd too.
I want to go back to the part where you made Bobby tap, because this gives me energy in life. Because again. So
you've had a hard time. Jeffrey, you had a hard time with some of our interviews we had back in July. You had Livewire Bobby Ford in here, Hunter Havoc. They didn't treat you as kindly as you're getting treated today.
Walk me through making him tap, and don't spare any details. I want to hear the whole thing. Did he cry? Did he whimper?
I can tell you from my point of view, right? Because I'm backstage, and you know, saying a lot of farewells and, you know, hangouts in our little hangout spot. We have a real particular hangout spot there at the Black Lodge. So, you know, it's all sentimental.
R.I.P.
We backstage, you know, we kind of let, you know, some of the guys are watching, but some of the guys are, you know, basically saying goodbyes to memories that we won't have or be able to make more of in the future. So I'm backstage, and I'm hearing the crowd. They roar, and they're like, oh, something happening out there, you know. We all edging towards stepping in, and by the way, by the time we make our way to the door, you hear people like, oh, come on, he got Bobby in the middle of the ring. And you see all the guys, yeah. Forget everything else. You see all the guys. We run into the curtains and the gorilla position, and all I heard, like I said, was that tap, and, you know, and the fans went wild. I was like, whoa. And like I said, Shane is a great competitor, great competitor. He actually wore me out faster than I thought in the beginning of that Rumble. Shane is very underrated. But I thought Bobby was going to win. I didn't think Shane would. I mean, you see that match and you're like, you know, it's
when
good guys.
We've all been there. You can feel the momentum. Like, you just know when a match is going a certain way, a game's going a certain way, you can just kind of feel it.
I'm like, yeah, but, you know, Bobby got this one. And so when I heard that bell ring and I heard, I'm like, whoa, this really happening right now. And I was happy for him. If I'm being honest, I was happy for him. I was excited. I was clapping, my eyes wide, jaw dropped.
But it was the last night at Black Lodge. It was the final battle at Black Lodge.
It was the last night at Black Lodge, and he got that applause, and I wanted it too.
The only thing I don't like about the story is Shane had to beat Bobby first. Can you tell me, like, did you, like, choke him out afterwards? Like, I need to know that Bobby's in, like, intense pain.
No.
Bobby's not happy. He's not happy. I guarantee that.
Has he been suspended anymore, Kevin? I'm sorry. What was the official term? The official term was he had 2 weeks where he didn't do anything.
Right.
Yeah, but not a suspension. Right. Totally not a suspension.
Not a suspension.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I hit the ring, I had tunnel vision. I only saw Shane. I don't think Bobby was even in the ring when I got in there. I mean, we have the video coming out, 9-on-1 Wrestling YouTube, if anybody want to check
it
out.
Oh, yeah, this weekend. The final battle of Black Lodge is dropping on YouTube this weekend, so everybody can watch for themselves to see how it played out. This is Bliss's first interview as champion.
So
what do we have
this
in store?
This is a huge, the new 9-on-1 Wrestling champion.
Oh, for everything next.
Are we
going to
be a fighting champion?
Oh, yes. Heavens, yes.
Of course, everyone says they're going to be a fighting champion.
Yeah.
We're going to back it up?
Of course. I have to.
Title in the territory he's holding on right now.
Title in the territory. 3 T's for a reason. Yes, sir.
Well, Bless, I 901 fans listening right now, they make sure they know I've got to ask about the reaction for your family, specifically your baby mamas. How? what?
You shouting them out?
Oh, yeah. Shout out to my baby mamas, Star Keisha and Sierra. And thank y'all for being so lovely to me as of late, especially now that I carry precious metals upon my shoulder. I thank y'all. And I see both of y'all later.
Both?
One at a time.
Are they aware?
Oh, yes. I'm a very active father. Mm.
You're very active father.
Yeah, very active.
Sounds like you're trying to be an active father again. That's what it sounded like.
Hey, I like this daddy thing. I can do this.
You like?
Yeah, a bunch of little clones of me. I'm teaching them all things I do, like jump off stuff that's very high safely.
It is like the most narcissistic thing we do.
It looks like me. I
love it. Oh, you look like me.
Shout out to all our baby mamas.
Our baby mamas.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank y'all so much, and I just wanted to give a special thanks to Kevin Cerrito. You know, we like an iconic duo. We like Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg, except I'm Martha Stewart and Kevin Cerrito, Snoop Dogg. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, hey, so, you didn't expect that, right?
Yeah.
I can tell you this. Kevin is not getting $500,000 a day to be here. I think that's what Snoop got.
His Olympic salary. Yeah,
that's like $500,000 a day with expenses. I can tell you Kevin is not getting that.
Hey, I keep having people like y'all behind me. I beat her.
How's the new diet now that you're now you got the top title,
yeah,
right?
You went from Well, now you're in a tough spot because if getting fat got you the belt, like, do you just, like, stick and rock with it?
Sometimes I actually get a little attention with the good. I've got comments on my Facebook to where they say, that's very daddy of you, and I like to receive such compliments for various reasons.
Father of the Year. You won the Father of the Year award.
Father of the Year. That's me. Mm.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeff Rett and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kev, for today's Tell Your Story, I guess we could go with the Olympic basketball team. They're getting their own Netflix documentary. I'm sure that'll wade into all the actual controversy, but I'm going to go with Isaiah Thomas. Of course, the former Piston great has to live with Michael Jordan always kind of putting him down whenever he can. Well, it looks like he fought back today because on a podcast he said Scottie Pippen and Tony Kukoc were good enough at the time to win one, maybe two, championships by themselves. So he's, you know, hey, they didn't even need MJ. They could have won. Right. They could have won it without themselves or without it. So fighting back, I appreciate that. Want to thank Kevin Bless for being here in studio. My thanks also to Blake Topmeyer for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Memphis is number one place for sports. This is WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies. 92.9 FM, ESPN, and Odyssey Sports Station.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you about Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals. They're a local, family-owned and operated business serving the Mid-South's residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010. It's the home of the free roof. You really can get a new roof with no cost to you. Most roofing jobs, they can be done in one day, so this isn't some lengthy process. Just call Danny at 901-870-0186. It's Danny Morrison Roofing, 901-870-0186.
Need inspiration? Shop Kroger for over 30,000 mouthwatering choices with savings beyond low prices, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump. More savings and more inspiring flavors make Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right now, Kroger brand 73% lean ground beef in a 3-pound roll is on sale for only $2.99 a pound with your card and digital coupon. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Want a chance to win $1,000? Enter the Quick Cash Second Chance drawing through August 31st. Earn entries on every $1 spent on a single drawing style game with Quick Cash. Visit TNLottery.com to learn more and become a TN Lottery VIP rewards member.
The Mitsubishi Final Days of Summer sales event is going strong at Gossett Mitsubishi on the Pike. So come get bang for your buck with 420 total range and 64 combined MPGE in 2024 Mitsubishi Outlander PHEV. We Gossett, $34,770 or $299.98 a month. And check out 2024 Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross. We Gossett at $27,245 or $349 a month. Plus, you'll never go wrong with Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. Get to Gossett Mitsubishi today at 1870 Covington Pike and 24/7 at MemphisMitsubishi.com. That's Gossett Mitsubishi on the Pike.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
PHEV RZ035-297 MSRP 47,470, 36-month, 30,000-mile lease, 44.53 due at signing, 1,095 acquisition fee, 25 cents per mile excess wear and tear. Eclipse RZ065-450 MSRP 28,745, includes all rebates and incentives, PF 695, excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month. Dealer stock only.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your...
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.